All right, welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Monday. It is your sportsman. My name is Isaac. And Big Sook right over there. His name's technically Jason, but we call him Sook.
Someone texted in that we were talking about the helicopter crash. Spatial disorientation is what that's called. And someone did point out, and I was like looking into it, that's what JFK Jr. died of that. They say he flew right into the ocean, and they don't know whether or not he thought he was pulling up when he was going down, or he just had no idea that he was that low and thought he was descending and was like, whoops, water. But yeah, they say that no distress call or whatever, and after flight records, they believe that he had no idea where he was at in conjuncture with the water. And I guess it can get into your ear too. So it's not just like a visibility thing. Your whole senses go kablooey.
So if one person has it on a, let's say on a helicopter of seven people, they all have it?
That I don't know.
Or if the pilot has it, well, even if other people don't.
I think most people assume because you can't see. Yeah. They said the visibility goes crap. And so I'm guessing everyone just relies on the pilot and assumes that the pilot knows what he's doing, but they said that like it's something with like your inner ear and your, you know, all your sensories that like you literally are, you cannot be convinced that what you're doing is wrong. So imagine like your whole brain is screwed up and you think you're, and sometimes like the crash warning goes off and you as a pilot are like, oh my God, I'm about to crash, and you go to pull yourself out of it and you're not, you're diving into the crash. So I was like, granted, reading about it, and it sounds like it's like absolutely terrifying.
Well, yet another reason not to fly a chopper
or an airplane where you don't really know what you're doing. So that Kennedy one, they said he was not, he did not have an instrument panel certification, so he could only legally fly in daylight and visibility conditions. And yet he chose to take off that night in terrible nighttime, foggy, hazy conditions and still did it anyways.
It always seems like there's some questionable decision-making before some of these things happen.
Yeah. I think a lot of it is, like, well, you're a powerful guy. You got your own plane. You're a Kennedy. You're like,
You think who's going to tell me what to do?
Well, you're Captain Race O'Bannon, master of the skies. You're like, I got this. And then, you know, whoops.
Coming up tonight in the club, Nike sweatsuits. Sweatsuits are flying off. Flying off the shelves.
It's the greatest conspiracy theory of all time to move merch.
We'll tell you why.
It seems a bit extreme, but also very effective, apparently. Good luck getting your hands on one of these.
And what will blocking mobile internet for 2 weeks do for you? A new study. An expose, as it were. This hour got some more NFL playoff talks, some NFL playoff nuggies. Did someone really squat Trevor Lawrence at a bar? Did you catch that?
Squat him?
Yeah.
Like, put him on?
Yes.
Huh.
It's a thing. There's a video.
What?
Yeah.
This is a
look it up.
This is a thing.
It's
now?
A female. Or I mean, she was a.
Huh. She squatted Trevor Lawrence, huh? Well, I mean,
again, I'm asking the question. It's out there.
It looks real.
I don't know.
Well, the AI now, man.
Exactly.
I saw a video the other day of a cat electrician, and quite frankly, it was adorable, and I wanted it to be real.
Of a what?
A cat electrician. It was a little cat, and it was working a like a breaker box. And I'll tell you what, it was the best thing I saw all day. No, it's not real. Looked real. Wanted it to be real. So you don't know nowadays.
Huh. All right, a couple of headlines here. A lot of going on. It is Black Monday, and of course that means NFL coaches fired right and left. Although, correct me if I'm wrong here, Stephen. I think we only have four today.
Yeah.
And yesterday?
Four today, yeah.
Yeah, so Raheem Morris got let go in Atlanta.
They cleaned house.
Jonathan Gannon got let go in Arizona.
Yeah.
Pete Carroll fired by the Raiders.
But they're keeping the GM.
And then Kevin Stefanski was fired by the Browns.
Also keeping the GM, which is interesting. So
now, don't you think Stefanski... He'll get another look, won't he?
If I needed a coach... I would certainly give Kevin Stefanski a long look. I think he got a raw deal with his GM.
Well, and his quarterback situation.
But I think Stefanski is a good coach. I think he got handled.
Handsome devil.
He got. It's the same thing with like Steichen.
My wife loves that guy.
Some people were saying, well, who wouldn't? Some were saying like Steichen should get fired. I think that's a good coach that got handed rough circumstances.
And Jimmy Haslam, he came out and he said that he definitely expected Stefanski to win more games. But as you said, they're keeping the GM. This seems like a ownership coach just they hate each other and they don't agree with one another.
No, and I think it's best for everyone that they just move on. And like I said, Stefanski's 43 years old, and I think he will get another crack. And I don't know, like I said, if I was starting from scratch and I was getting a new GM and I wanted to bring in a coach that I thought could grow and develop someone, I don't think Kevin Stefanski is a bad guy. And I think sometimes narratives get spun. That whole Shedeur Sanders thing, somehow that landed at the feet of Kevin Stefanski, and we want to blame him for that. Did you know, by the way, that Shedeur Sanders, whatever you think of him, ended up with the worst quarterback rating of any starting Browns quarterback in like 20 years?
Well, what do you mean blame him for that? Like, he had no quarterbacks.
Yes, but like people are literally saying that that is Stefanski's fault. Like, that Shedeur Sanders wasn't good.
Well, he tried Gabriel. Gabriel wasn't good.
No, but none of them were.
The point is that they drafted Gabriel before Shedeur, so of course everyone's going to be mad and question Stefanski, well, why didn't you play Shedeur? Well, they drafted Gabriel literally ahead of him. What am I supposed to do?
He played them both.
He took a crappy-ass organization in his time there. They went 11-5, 8-9, 7-10, 11-6, and in the last 2 years it fell apart. And largely that was the Deshaun Watson thing. I don't put that on Kevin Stefanski. I'm not saying he's Bill Belichick, but he should get another crack at this.
Hey, real quick, spatial disorientation. We have a pilot who has texted into the fan text.
There we go.
They say, as a pilot, it's something you just learn to deal with and trust your instruments. Mm. Your body will tell you one thing. When you lose your body, when you lose reference to the visual horizon, and your instruments will tell you the truth. It's the skill to fly the aircraft by reference to the instruments when your body is telling you something different. Untrained or poor proficiency in the clouds has a high risk of it ending up with the aircraft upside down.
Ooh.
Oh, that makes sense.
And that's what they said, the Kennedy one. He was not trained on the instrument. And when I was reading into that, that's makes sense because they said in the little Wikipedia thing of it, they said pilots will often ignore the warnings because they're, like, I guess in your brain... If a little, it's like when you see your GPS and you're like, well, that's not the right way to go. I know how to do this.
I think I just learned something there. I was under the impression that you were upside down, but you didn't know it. Mm-hmm. And I think what he's saying is once you flip upside down, you know it, but it's probably too late. Like you think you're doing the right thing, but you do the wrong thing and then it's over because obviously
it's too late.
You hit a mountain or hit... Yeah. So, okay. So you aren't upside down and don't know it. You just don't trust your instruments. You think you're doing one thing, you're doing the opposite.
Down. And then at that
point. And then you're upside down and then you know it and you're like, oh, crap.
Can't pull out of it.
Okay, good. We learned something. Yeah. The draft order, Raiders 1, Jets 2, Cardinals 3, Titans 4, Giants 5.
The Giants. Hey, congratulations on that meaningless win, Giants. Enjoy sliding down. It's like a two quarterback draft, although technically I guess you don't need one. You got Jackson Dart, but if it's a two quarterback draft and you lost that meaningless game to the Cowboys, you'd be picking one or two, and then you could take that draft pick, move back down to five, and accumulate more picks. That's why bad organizations continue to be bad organizations.
Do you guys watch in-season Hard Knocks?
I have seen a little bit of that, yes.
Yeah, so the Giants are on there.
Yeah.
And that Joe Shane guy, he's a moron.
And by the way, he gets to stick around as well.
They're keeping him.
Yeah.
Why? He's an idiot.
I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
Like, when did it go bad for the Giants? Because at one point, they were a good organization. Now they just seem like a dumpster fire.
I don't know if necessarily they were. I think they kind of hit lightning in a bottle twice. Because both years, they won Super Bowls.
You hire the right coach.
Yeah.
I mean.
And that's the thing. Like, you go back, Tom Coughlin was going to get fired. The year before they won the Super Bowl, the last game of the year, I think, was against the Commanders. That they said Tom Coughlin was coaching for his job. That almost never happened. So it's just they had a solid quarterback in Eli Manning, and they put together an elite defensive front. But if you go back and look at those Giant years, it wasn't like great teams. They just got into the dance a couple times and got hot, found ways to beat the greatest quarterback of all time. It's the damnedest thing. But the Giants are just there, and there's some good building blocks there. It's just stuff like that. Whether or not you need a quarterback, so if you think Jackson Dart's your guy, fine. But you like the Cowboys laid down. They didn't want to win that game. And yet, I understand tanking. Like, no one wants to tank, but you have got to find a way to put a team on there that doesn't cost you multiple draft picks, multiple slides down. Like, you can't do that.
And the week before, they lost, or they beat the Raiders by 30, and they were literally competing for the number one spot.
Yes.
There's a stat. I heard somebody else say it, so I'll just paraphrase. But I think they said the Giants are 8-30. I think it's 8-30 in their last however many 38 games.
Yeah.
You might double check me on that.
Okay.
Four of the wins of the eight
are
when they're playing for nothing and out of the and the season is over.
What are they doing? And there's some things like it, as far as the situations go of teams that are starting over, the Giants aren't bad. The Giants have a little something going. You know, if they can get some guys healthy again, if Jackson Dart can learn how to slide and not get his brain kicked in, like there are some pieces to that puzzle, but it's just stuff like that that would drive me crazy if I was a Giants fan.
Yeah, so this year the Giants won their last two games to go from 2-13 to 4-13. The year before, they were 2-13, and then they won to go to 3-13 right before they lost the final.
So you said they have the fifth pick, right?
Yeah.
So they went, had they just lost those last two games that meant nothing, they would have picked number one because the Raiders won over the weekend. They would have had the number one pick.
But don't you think the Raiders would have lost on purpose then?
Yeah, it's possible. Okay, then you would have the number two pick.
Yeah, I think they would have been two.
Okay. And to go from 5-2, they would have, even if they decide, okay, we're not taking a quarterback, right? We're going to move back. You could have moved back from 2 or 1, probably back to, let's find someone that needs a quarterback. The Dolphins at 11, for instance, right? The Dolphins would have given you a 1 and probably 2 other picks or a 2 or a 3 and a young player. And that's how you end up building good rosters. And the Giants just they don't get it. And that's the maddening part, is it doesn't take that long. See the Broncos, see the Seahawks with smart management. Even if you don't have an elite quarterback, Bo Nix, Sam Darnold, you can still put things together. And it just feels like the Giants, it's like the Raiders, they can't get out of their own way.
Yeah, and Mara is sick now.
Yeah.
He's going through cancer treatments. Yeah. And that may be part of the reason Shane is staying too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, just some stability there.
And then in transfer quarterback news, TCU's Josh Hoover is headed to Indiana.
Indiana, I guess, cleaned up in the portal. They've done a really nice job.
No way. I wonder why.
Yeah.
Probably because they're good.
I would think so. And they've got money to spend.
They have a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame backup Kenny Minchie is headed to Nebraska. Maybe that was what the fight was at that Vancouver bar. The Kenny Minchie fight.
Someone died over Kenny Minchie?
Well,
he was a big deal. He was the one that barely got beat out of the Notre Dame job, and then Raiola left Nebraska, so here you go. I still think the worst money spent in sports is transfer portal quarterbacks. So, like, Sorsby is a fine quarterback. $5 million for that? Like, even Miami spent $4 million on Carson Beck, and I know they're in the semifinals right now. Are they there because of Carson Beck? No. Dude, you could find 20 quarterbacks that could be Carson Beck. It blows my mind. I thought that there would be a course correction and some of these salaries would start coming back down for quarterbacks because they just don't work out. And it's not. They're going up and up and up. And it's insane especially like if you're going to be a fourth or a fifth round pick, like if Sorsby were to go out, Sorsby's probably a fourth round pick, maybe a fifth round. He will make more in 1 year at Texas Tech than he would as a fourth round pick on his entire rookie contract, guaranteed.
Shador, his 4 year contract's worth $4.6 million. So if Sorsby's making $5 million for 1 year, if you're an average quarterback, why would you ever leave college football?
Pavia is somewhere sitting around right now being like, son of a...
Drawing up a court case right now.
One more year.
And two others, Rocco Becht is following Matt Campbell to Penn State.
Dude, get ready, by the way, for another overrated Penn State quarterback. Mark that on your calendar. And by the way, they've gotten, I think, 12 or 13 Iowa State players from that have now followed.
So what you're saying, they'll be 8-4 again, and the fans look bad?
And that's the other one, like, for Penn State, is that unsuckable? Is that a good thing that you get?
Well, I mean, the James Madison thing worked out.
It did.
At Indiana.
That's true.
So.
That's true. I mean, Matt Campbell's a good coach.
He is a good coach.
I'm just not certain that you, like, Penn State, if you're like, hey, what do we do with our roster? We got half of Iowa State's. Ohio State and Oregon are shaking in their shoes. And who did we get? Rocco Beck. Have you bothered to look at Rocco's stats?
No, but I've seen him play and I see the moxie, so I don't want to hear it.
I wonder how much they gave Rocco Beck, who, by the way, 16 touchdowns and 9 interceptions and completed about 59% of his passes.
Is moxie like the worst thing you could say about a football player?
Yes.
Well, I have nothing else to hang my hat on.
They're moxie.
He's just got it.
Such an insult.
I just can't wait for Joel Klatt to do a Penn State game where Rocco is 9 of 22 for 110 and a pick, and Joel Klatt in the fourth quarter is like, this is exactly where Penn State wants him. The gutsiness of Rocco.
You got Gus yelling in the background, Rocco!
Yes!
Rocco! Oh, my Rocco!
That clip came after the Iowa-Iowa State game, where Iowa State won 16-13, and Joel Klatt had an orgasm on air talking about Rocco Becht, and he went 18 of 27 for 134 yards. What are we doing? Apparently giving Rocco $4 million to go be the next Drew Aller. Maybe he can get one of those Dodge Ram commercials. Have you seen that thing?
What have I seen? What? The Dodge Ram?
Dodge Ram did a national campaign for college football around Drew Aller. And they had to keep running it all year.
After he was hurt.
It was Terry Crews and Drew Aller. That ought to move some hardware. Way to go, Dodge.
And then Drew Mestemaker is headed to Oklahoma State following his coach from North Texas, Eric Morris.
I thought he would land a bigger spot. Like, I know it's North Texas. Dude, that dude can sling it and put up numbers. No offense to Rocco and whoever the hell else is out there. I'd rather have Mestemaker than I would Rocco or Sorsby.
So we're going to return to NFL playoff talk coming up next. And yet the stupid Jets are going to probably hijack the segment.
It's the most unbelievable stat you will ever hear.
It really is.
When I saw it, when Steven said it, I did not believe it. I had to immediately go into fact check mode.
So we'll get to that coming up next on The Fan.
Hey, Seattle.
Not talking about this.
No.
No.
All right, back to the NFL talk. Very important NFL talk. Because it appears that it is real. Trevor Lawrence of our Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yes.
The number
three.
Three seed in the AFC.
And some people think should be the favorite in the AFC.
Yeah, well, they're an underdog in their first game, mm-hmm. and they're at home.
Yeah.
To the Bills.
And I don't get it.
I don't either.
The Bills don't look good.
And
Jacksonville's been on a heater.
You know that McDermott is 0-5 on the road in the playoffs?
Is he really?
With the Bills?
Can't say I knew that. He's another guy that kind of faces that whole John Harbaugh thing. Like, eventually, how many times do you keep falling short before maybe it's time to change it up?
As a matter of fact, I will one-up my own fun fact.
I love this.
And tell you that the Bills have not won a road playoff game since 1992.
Yikes.
That includes a loss at Jacksonville.
Dude, that is brutal.
Does it?
Yeah. Well, their first appearance back in the playoffs, they went to Jacksonville and lost to Blake Bortles.
The Bortles here. That team was good.
They got to the AFC title game.
I sure remember that. And again, everyone was like, oh, here comes Jacksonville. They got something. No, they don't. That thing fell off the cliff.
So it is real that Trevor Lawrence went into a bar and some lady there squatted him. It's real.
So she asked if she could squat him, and he said yes.
What do you do if you run into Trevor Lawrence at a bar? You squat him.
Oh, yeah, dude, I see this right
here. She is squatting him.
Does that mean Trevor Lawrence, like, is he just...
And I cannot imagine his coaches like this.
I mean...
When they saw... What if she dropped him and he breaks his arm?
Well, I mean, boy, why... I have so much question.
Why? The key question is why.
Well, clearly you're trying to... This lady... And by the way, that's not good squat form.
I mean, that's exactly what Casey said. He goes, the form's terrible.
The form's terrible.
She squats him like four times.
But there's not a single rep was done. We're not at parallel. We're not at 90 degrees. The back, we're all bad. This is terrible form. You got to lighten up.
She's kind of a husky gal.
Yeah, but we you know, the Trevor Lawrence is too big. You got to pick up like a kicker or something.
He's 6'6", 220.
Yeah, she can't handle the weight. Bottom line. I just don't know what that is, because sometimes men will want to do dumb feats of strength at bars. Like, I get asked to arm wrestle a lot, and I always ask why. You want to arm wrestle? No. Why not? Why should I? I can't say that I've ever seen the female feats of strength. The other one too is, gotta be careful. As you said, she's a bit of a bigger gal. Bigger gals will often want big guys to pick them up. They do a lot of that, like, hey, can you pick me up? And you're like, again.
They don't get enough of that.
Why? Yeah, they want to feel dainty.
Yeah.
I've never seen the gal pick up the guy. This is all
It's new. A new one.
Yeah.
Why he agreed to that, no idea.
If a guy asked Trevor Lawrence if they could squad him, does he say yes?
No.
No, he says no. He's like, dude, get out of here. Six security on him. But the girl?
Go for it.
It's a cheeky bit.
I would love to hear the conversation and how that, like, how you even lean into that.
But seriously,
hey,
think,
I bet I can squat
like,
you.
She's thought about that. She's like, if I see
yes.
Trevor Lawrence at a bar, I'm going to see if I can squat that guy.
Well, maybe you got alcohol, yeah. probably.
Maybe it's a bit that she does. Like, that's her deal. She goes into bars.
But you seriously, what does Liam Cohen think when he sees that? He's like, oh my God. He's texting Trevor like, dude, how about this? Wait to be squatted by women in bars. Yeah. Until after the playoffs?
Yeah.
Thank you.
She's wearing cargo pants. Yeah, that would be the all-time injury if she tipped over and he, like, broke a wrist. Although, she's, like, 5'4", so he's not very far from the ground. I think if he extended his arms, he could probably break his fall.
7 of the top 8 QB cap hits this year,
mm-hmm.
not in the playoffs.
Interesting.
There's a little fun fact for you.
Okay.
That would be Dak.
Yeah.
Stafford is in. Mm. But then you have Burrow, Lamar, Kyler, Geno, Cousins, and Tua.
Ooh.
Isn't that wild?
Those are some bad quarterbacks.
Well, and some of it is what we've talked about this. Like, if you have to pay Patrick whatever you pay him. But the problem that the NFL has, and it is a real problem, is, and Bo Nix will experience this, the Sam Darnolds of the world will experience this. When you have the Philadelphia is dealing with this right now, when you get competent quarterback play and you pair it with because he doesn't make a lot of money and you pair it with an elite roster and then you get great results, what happens? We love to do he may not be the best, but he's a winner and we have to pay him. And then you pay him $60 million and all of a sudden you're like, oh hell, we just lost 5 starters and 2 backups to that salary, and now we're asking him to do more, and that's when the revelation comes around of, well, he wasn't that good to begin with. He just had an elite team around him, and again, he was a competent quarterback, and that's how you end up with Tua, that's how you end up with Kyler, that's how you end up with Geno.
Well, next year, the number one is Watson. Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Which, that's a whole other ball game, but this is, it's a really tough situation. Like, if Sam Darnold wins a Super Bowl in Seattle, I don't know what Sam Darnold, because they gave him a 3-year deal.
Yes.
Yeah, 3-year.
3-year. So let's say they lose in the Super Bowl this year, but Darnold plays well. And they come back next year and they win it. And it's the exact same player. The exact same player. You think Sam Darnold and his agent are going to be like, yeah, we'll take that 26 mil? No. They're going to be like, yeah, we want 50. Or in reality, they're going to say, we want 60. And teams don't say no. Arizona should have said no. Miami should have said no. The Giants should have said no to Daniel Jones. And no one ever does. And that's how you end up with huge salaries and very mediocre quarterback play. The one exception is like Dak. Dak's really good. And they paid him, but they still put a bunch of horse crap around him that can't play defense and doesn't do any good.
So what you're saying is Seahawks fans should root for Sam Darnold to throw 7 interceptions.
But still win the Super Bowl.
And still win it?
Yes. Well,
and then they don't have to pay him?
They don't have to pay him because they'd be like, yeah, you want a Super Bowl. The Philadelphia is going through this right now that Jalen Hurts has been largely mediocre every regular season, but that son of a gets into the playoffs and he goes on heaters and he's been in 2 playoff runs where he's been lights out and he won a Super Bowl and then it was like, hey.
But what Super Bowl winning quarterback doesn't get paid?
Trent Dilfer.
Well, he was older.
Yeah.
Foles.
Yeah,
Foles did.
Yeah, he didn't really get paid.
He won one.
Yeah, so like it happens. But when you are a younger quarterback and you get and you have success, you don't even have to win a Super Bowl. You just have to be the next one up. See Tua and see Kyler Murray.
I think the cool thing, you mentioned this earlier about the parity of these playoffs. It's like there's really nobody you can trust, which makes it completely wide open.
Yeah.
The other cool element of that, along the same lines, is the quarterbacks. Yeah. Like this is. Mahomes isn't in there, Burrow isn't in there, and Lamar isn't in there. They're arguably the top 3 quarterbacks in the league.
Yep.
And you have you have guys like Trevor Lawrence, CJ Stroud, Drake May, freaking Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. It's like the changing of the guard.
Yeah, Jordan Love and Brock Purdy and Bryce Young.
Bo Nix?
There's another one. If Carolina makes the playoffs the next 2 years and they pay Bryce Young, someone needs have a rectal exam and remove their head from it. You got to look up there. Because if they pay Bryce Young, their head is so far up their own arse.
There's no way they would do that.
If they win a playoff game.
If they win a playoff game and next year, let's say they
hate him. Yes. You can tell. And by the way, I don't know if you've been paying attention to his commentary.
Yeah.
And they ran a play. Were they the ones that ran the stupid
flea flicker?
Yeah. Whoever's running calling plays for Carolina sucks. But again, he has Bryce Young. So
what are you gonna do?
They showed Bryce Young on the sideline talking about that play. You could kind of read his lips. And if you go back to I think it was 2 weeks ago, and I forget who they played. Oh, Seahawks! Seahawks completely shut him down. Of course, great defense.
Yes.
But Bryce Young after that game was talking about how, you know, teams are throwing things at us and we're not adjusting very well. We have to be better about that. Yeah. He was kind of throwing shade at his coaching staff. Like,
please don't do that, Bryce.
Yeah, I feel like, well, Carolina's offense is dreadful.
Yes, it is.
And I think outside as fans, we look at that and go, well, Bryce Young is dreadful.
Yeah.
And that would be why their offense is dreadful.
Yeah.
There's a little friction there because you can tell Bryce Young's a little bit like, well, dude, that's a badass. That's a terrible play call. Why are we calling a flea flicker?
And yet it is true. They both hate each other, but they don't have another option. So it's like, well,
and they're in the playoffs. You kind of have to
kinda
play.
Have to.
Has a team ever opted out of the playoffs? Carolina's like, yeah,
they tried.
Yeah, they did.
Carolina tried to opt out. They didn't want to win that game. The refs had something to do with it. And then, you know.
What else do I have for you? I have a Colts stat, fun fact, and then we got to get to the big news of the weekend.
We got big news.
Well, the Jets.
Yeah,
this is
the most amazing NFL stat of all.
It is a wild stat.
It'll never get broken again.
No,
it will never
happen again.
It's never happened.
Happened once.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it has
in
happened
the 30s.
In the 30s, the 1930s.
It'll never happen again.
This is the Cal Ripken streak in the NFL. It will never be broken.
All right. Well, we'll get to that coming up next, but first, Stephen with Sports Center. All right, we'll start heating up the Duck Talk tomorrow and the other game, Miami Ole Miss. Good little matchup.
Yeah.
And that one, by the way, is Thursday. I don't know how many people know that.
Yeah.
The Ducks game is on Friday. The Ole Miss Miami game is actually Thursday this week.
I've seen some people starting to kind of come around to the Ole Miss thing. I'm not, but.
You're not?
Nah.
Even against Miami?
I don't. I just think the front for Miami is going to be overwhelming. And I just think the coaching thing that Ole Miss has going on right now is really problematic. Their defense isn't very good. I just, at some point, the coaching thing is going to come back and rear its head. I mean, I think Oregon is dealing with its own problems, let alone having six coaches that don't even know on a week-to-week basis whether or not they're going to be there.
Yeah, that's the crazy part is that they may be leaving in between games.
Like, no one knows. It's just that.
Yeah, isn't some of that, like, the familiarity with Georgia helped them?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
They had already played them. You know, those guys know them. Mm-hmm. Whereas Miami, totally different.
Different animal.
Animal.
And I think Georgia just repeatedly shot themselves in the foot, although it is Mario Cristobal, so.
It is.
The
Cristobal effect.
Yeah. I just.
Don't underestimate it.
It's such a, the dynamic of two great coaches. Well, I guess Cignetti, great. Lanning, very good.
Sure.
And then you can go on the other side. Cristobal, questionable. And then whatever you want to throw Ole Miss out there, questionable on
it's
that
just,
side.
It's just funky.
Well, I like to defend Cristobal. Because the Cristobal effect is very real.
Yeah.
It just is. In game, the guy's a disaster. Mm-hmm. I mean, my God, what did he have? He had a game where all he had to do was kneel and he didn't and they lost?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, he's a disaster. However, he's a damn good football coach.
Yes, he's a program builder and he's a great recruiter. He just.
They got some dudes on D.
Yes,
he can just not screw it up.
Get out of the way. Run the ball, get out of the way, play defense. And they have the thing that everyone talks about in football. It's the great equalizer is they can derail you with a front four. And that was Texas Tech. It's just that Texas Tech had no offense to speak of. Miami's ability in their front, and they have a better secondary than Texas Tech does. I don't care who ends up playing them, like Oregon or Indiana. That Miami defense is going to be a problem for whichever team comes out of
it. Whose front four would you take? Would you take Miami or Texas Tech?
I want Texas Tech's. Yeah. I've never seen in And to be fair, I also haven't dug into Miami the way I did Texas Tech. In my little film service that I have, you can watch games like 20 minutes. So it's pretty easy to go through. In the years that I've been doing this, I don't recall a better tackling team than Texas A&M. Texas Tech. The only thing is their secondary was, but the front was so good, they didn't really get exposed. So I like Texas Tech's front, but Miami's back half is better. So it's, you know.
But of all the players, isn't that the number one guy? Or is it Bailey?
It's Bailey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Bain plays for Miami, Bailey for Texas. Yeah.
I like longer, kind of freakier athletes. Bain is weird in that I'll be interested to see what the NFL thinks of him because he has a tackle, like a small interior tackle body, or he's not like long and athletic to play on the edge, but the dude just plays and he's got a motor from hell. And the other guy on the other side from Miami is not much worse. Miami will give people problems, which is why I have a hard time believing Ole Miss gets it done. But if their court, like the way their quarterback played, and I think this is why all of a sudden people are kind of coming around to Ole Miss. It wasn't like Georgia was necessarily out of position. I know they lost some guys injury and then the targeting call, which I hate. When Trinidad plays like that, that's Johnny Manziel stuff. There's no defense for it. When you do those sorts of things, that's just little kid playground ball of, I'm better than you, I'm the best player on the field, and I'm going to run around. And it's not like Georgia doesn't have athletes, and he made Georgia's defense at time look silly. I just have a hard time seeing that Miami front look like that.
That third down where he ran backwards about 25
yards. Stupid. It's Lamar Jackson stuff.
Incredible stuff.
Yeah.
All right, well.
God damn it.
You did it again.
Yeah.
We've lost the segment.
Yeah, talk about the Jets.
Okay, we've got to talk about the Jets.
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Coming up next, you will hear the Jets have done something that hasn't been done since 1933.
And will never be done again.
And it's incredible.
Yes.
That, I guarantee, is next on The Fan.
It's time for a Ducks Report, the inside story on Ducks Athletics. Brought to you by Mods PDX. The future of building is here.
Here's Borton, empty backfield, five receivers, three left, two right, back to throw. Has time, step throws, his arm was hit, ball came out, Mateo with the steal, Mateo at the five, ball comes out, he gets it back, it's Oregon's ball. He stole it from him. I was going to say it was an interception, but he picked that ball away from him.
Yeah, Ducks, Indiana Friday.
That was such a good play.
It was amazing.
I mean, I know some of that's luck, but my God, that was, and it sealed the game. Game ended right there.
So the Seahawks-Niners game was exactly Ducks-Texas Tech.
Yeah.
It was the same game.
Just suffocating, could do nothing.
Mods PDX, the future of building is here. I'm already throwing Steven off with my random drops. He's going to have to get used to that.
It's a feeling out process.
You just never know, yeah. Steven.
Rob throws an uncatchable ball at times, and you got to be able to adjust, man.
That's right.
It's great. I love it.
Catch with the hands. Don't let it into the body.
Sucker.
So here's the Jets stat we were talking about. The Jets are the first team since 1933 to go an entire season without an interception.
It's impossible. It's impossible that this happened, and yet it did. Through no fault of anybody, you're going to stumble upon four or five interceptions, tip balls, just errant throws, missed coverage reads, you know, receivers knocking them up in the air. Not one interception, and Aaron Glenn, maybe the best defensive-minded secondary coach in the NFL, that's your head coach, and you don't get one GD interception?
Crazy. I don't even know how that happens. It's just luck, right?
They're bad. Dumb luck.
But,
yes.
But, I mean, come on. They're not that bad.
No one. Well, that's the thing is, whether you're good or bad, that can't happen because there's other bad teams and even good teams throw dumb balls. And again, they get tipped.
My God, they played Tua twice.
They played Mitchell Trubisky in the final week.
Yeah. They made him look good.
And what was it? The 1931, like the
1933.
1933. And like the leading like passing attack was like less than 1,000 yards.
It was Harry Newman. Of your New York Giants.
Oh, yes, the old
and
Harry
he led York. The league in passing with 973 yards.
It is statistically impossible with as many balls that are thrown in the NFL that at no point someone didn't get an interception. It's impossible.
By the way, Arnie Herber of the Packers that year, 656 yards. Third in the league, passing.
Old Arnie.
Aren't those names great?
I know.
Harry Newman, Glenn Presnell of the Portsmouth Spartans, and Arnie Herber of the Green Bay Packers. Those are your top three passers.
If you're a Jets fan, I know they're not firing Glenn because he can't just keep firing people and it's 1 year, but I mean, if you're a Jets fan, what do you hold on to? What do you have coming back? I guess you had draft picks, you traded everybody,
but when your
right?
defensive head coach can't get your team to get an interception all season long, you're right. Like, how can you be excited about anything? 494 passes they faced this year. 494 pass attempts.
So almost 500 times the ball went in the air, and not one time it found its way into your hands?
You know, I read that if you bet $100 on the opposing quarterback facing the Jets.
Yeah, so this is a great number.
To not throw an interception. Yeah. If you just bet that and just kept rolling it each week, you would have made over $6 million.
That's how dumb that number is. And yet it happened. This is one of those like Biff Tannen's Pleasure Palace. This is like Back to the Future stuff that you would go back and bet on. Just lay the big wood. And you know the guy at the sports pack's like, this idiot. Like, he's got $3 million and he's gambling it again. You're like, let it ride, baby.
Let it go.
I mean, if I were a book, I would take that.
Every time.
Every time. Every I would laugh time. At you placing those bets.
Yes.
I would have to pay you $6 million.
I would love to see someone, because I'm not going to, because NFL Plus will let you break down just about anything you want. You can break it down into like third and short, all that stuff. What it won't let you do is near interceptions. I've never seen anywhere in the little analytics department. I would love some stat nerd to go through and see how many near interceptions. Was it just one of those weird statistical anomalies? They had like 12 that they just dropped. Was there never a close one? I would love to see a highlight package of what the closest thing. Was there an interception that was ruled an interception and then overturned on review? I need to know this, but I am not willing to go through and watch that much Jets film.
Here's another one. After week 8, the Colts were 7-1. What do you think the odds of them missing the playoffs were?
I'm guessing less than 1%.
They were 7-1. Yeah. We were talking about them like, oh, yeah, they're for real.
Sure. They traded 2 future first-round picks and went all in and went and got Sauce Gardner. How'd that work out for you?
Well, the quarterback got hurt.
Yeah.
You know?
Doesn't change the fact that...
I really don't understand, too, why they went and got... I mean, I guess I do understand why they went and got Phillip Rivers. They were kind of desperate.
Yeah.
But did you watch Riley Leonard?
Yeah, he looked way better.
He was fine.
But he was hurt.
Oh, he was? Yeah. That's why?
That's why.
Okay.
Yeah. Everyone was hurt. I think they were down to whatever the last guy was, and even he was questionable. I forget who the third string guy was. So they went out and got Phillip Rivers.
Well, there have only been 6 teams since the merger to start 7-1 and miss the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was in 1975, the year I was born.
Mm.
Dolphins and Bob Greasy.
Mm.
They started 10-4. The Chargers in 1987 with Fauci finished 8-7.
Ooh.
Sorry. I said started. With the Dolphins, 10-4. These teams all started 7-1.
Mm-hmm.
The Dolphins finished 10-4 and did not make the playoffs. Chargers finished 8-7 because Fouts got hurt.
Sure.
That was in 87.
Makes sense.
In 88, the Saints finished 10-6 with Bobby Hebert. And in 2012, the Bears finished 10-6 with Jay Cutler.
Mm. And yet, think about how many times that happened, and we're still the Jets. It hasn't happened since 1933.
The Jets also broke the record for least amount of takeaways ever. They only had 4 takeaways all season long.
So they only got 4 fumbles?
Yeah. The previous record was 7. They broke that by a lot.
What is...
Dude.
Again, Aaron Glenn led one of the best defenses last year in the Lions before everyone got hurt, and he still managed to kind of hold them together despite all those injuries.
36 touchdowns, no interceptions for opposing quarterbacks against the Jets this year.
God, that's amazing.
They won, what, 3 games? The Bengals?
How did they win a game?
Well, because they beat Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Atlanta.
So if Dante Moore comes out, he could go there. He's the number. Aren't they number 2 behind the Raiders?
Yes, I believe so.
Oh,
is he good enough to say, I don't want to go there?
I mean, the way it is to just go back.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if he's good enough to do that, to pull the I'm not gonna play there.
And Eli Manning.
But he could always go back. I mean, look, if Sorsby got, would he get 5 or 6?
$5 million, apparently, the sources.
Dude, if I'm Dante.
Where'd he go? Tech?
Tech. I'm Dante Moore. I'm going to Oregon right now. I'm being like, Sorsby's worth five. I'm worth six.
Yeah.
And look, this idea that college players are making more than the NFL players, that's dumb. See, even if you gave him six, the number one or number two pick is going to get a $60 million guaranteed, fully guaranteed deal out of the NFL. So which would you rather have, $60 million guaranteed no matter what, or six and anything can happen? So it's not like the money is anywhere close, unless you're, you know, if you're a fourth or fifth rounder, sure. You do take into consideration, though, that you're still pretty raw. You've had some games this year where you've looked a little lost. You certainly could use another year of development. The teams, if you do come back, you're the Heisman favorite, and your team's probably the favorite to win the national championship. You've made a bunch of money. You will make a bunch of money. It's not $60 million, but you can always take out insurance. I can see where being in Eugene and being a rock star and trying to win a Heisman and a national title is better than getting your teeth kicked in with the Raiders or Jets.
Yeah, but realistically, who would be up there? You'd be like, oh, yeah, I'd love to go play for them. You know what I mean? Like,
it's never really, yeah, it's never really yeah. teams.
It's never really a team.
Because even the number three is the Cardinals. They'll need a quarterback. But, like, do you really want to go to Arizona play in the NFC West?
It's a valid, point. And then after that, you're down into, like, the next one that could take a quarterback would be, like, Cleveland. Yeah.
That'd probably be my, I mean, they have Myles Garrett. I don't know. It's better than the Jets and Raiders.
God, that's so bad. Yeah, I mean, but that you're right.
Who's a good team that might draft a quarterback?
Colts?
Yeah, Colts. But they're way down there, and I don't think they have.
They traded
all their picks. So in order, if someone realistically to do it, so Raiders no, Jets no, Cardinals no, Titans have their guy. I think the Giants have Jackson Dart, Commanders no. I think the Saints feel pretty good at Shuck at eight.
I'll stop. Why did you say Raiders no, Jets no? They're both going to draft quarterbacks, aren't they?
Oh, well, you said the next quarterback. Like, they're already, like, they're bad teams. You said what's
Yeah, good team.
Yeah, good team.
That will draft a quarterback.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
okay, I got you.
The Saints already have that. The Chiefs wouldn't. Cincinnati? They're not good, but if Burrow forced his way out, Dolphins, Cowboys, Rams. There you go. The Rams at 13.
Dolphins will need one, too.
Yeah, I just don't know if I consider the Dolphins good.
Well, that division is winnable.
If you were a quarterback,
the Patriots wins this season.
If you were a quarterback, your dream scenario is that you take a tumble down to 13, and that the Rams at 13 snatch you. You sit for 1 year behind Matthew Stafford, and then you inherit Puka Nacua and that
offense.
What
about offense?
The Vikings?
JJ's pretty bad.
Yeah, but they're down at 18.
Right.
So. You just ask, what's the first time a good landing spot? I mean, you can make the argument that with the coaching staff in Miami, he's a smart guy. You could make the argument 11 at Miami or 13 with the Rams are the only two teams that if you were a player and you had a choice that you would want to go play for. And that's not, you know,
yeah, man.
Mendoza and Moore are not falling into those spots.
Well, I think I'd rather play for the Raiders than Jets, even though the Raiders have the number one pick.
I would agree.
Just because you got a new coach coming in, that could be a totally different situation.
Yeah.
Jets are a dumpster fire.
Yes.
But if you got to the Rams, you get to play in LA and sit behind Matthew Stafford and play for Sean McVay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Dude, that's the best situation in football.
Well, I think you're right with the Raiders because they're going to hire, you would think they'd offer or hire an offensive guy, right?
Yeah.
You would think.
I saw the odds.
I mean, like, go back to 2024 real quick. And, you know, Caleb went one and then Daniels and Drake May. So, I mean, that's just, and by the way, a couple of those turned, well, all of them at this point look pretty good, right? Caleb's finally come around. Daniels had the big rookie year. We'll see what happens. And then Drake May has completely flipped New England on its head. But you go down past that and you get into, in four picks, you had Penix, you had nine, old JJ, and then you had Bo that kind of went stacked back to back with one pick in between. And while Bo obviously was the last one of those to go, Bo ended up in a phenomenal, and I mean phenomenal situation there in Denver.
With a good coach.
With a good coach.
So I saw we'll get to more of this tomorrow, the odds on favorites to be the next head coach at these NFL vacancies, but the Raiders right now, it's Brian Flores. 2-1.
Yeah, and he should get another crack. because he's doing a phenomenal job.
But he's not an offensive guy.
He's not an offensive guy. He's a defensive guy. So then you're at the you know, you got to hire a good OC, and then that goes back to the problem, the whole Ben Johnson thing.
Sark.
You know, but if he's good for 1 or 2 years, he's gone, and because he's going to go be a head coach somewhere, which is why I would always, given my druthers, I would rather have an offensive OC. You know who's sitting in the best catbird seat ever is Drake May. Because you have Mike Vrabel, but the beauty part is you got Vrabel with all the culture building and the defense and all that, and he's got a good grasp on it. But you have an OC that's arguably a top three OC over the last 20 years, and he ain't going anywhere because he'll never get another head coaching job. So you kind of have the best of both worlds. You have the hard-nosed program builder, but you're not going to have to change out your OC. They're gonna continue to pay him, and you will be able to suckle at that power teat that did so much for Tom Brady. And you don't have to worry about it. Everyone else gets to go. Like, you know, like, look at what Ben Johnson did for Caleb and what happened when he left the Lions. And this is, there's another one, Liam Cohen, right? What happened to Jacksonville when he got there versus what happens when he left Tampa? I mean, that's just the death sentence for some of these young QBs. You start to have a little success, you got a little something going, and then the guy that's responsible for it decides to leave. Sucks.
All right, up next, why Nike sweatsuits are flying off the shelves. That's next in the club on The Fan.